It's indeed with thankful hearts unto God that we stand before you this morning. Appreciate very much the prayers that's gone before, the good singing, and I stand very much in need. I do have some things that's very much on my mind, but I'm keenly aware of the fact, except God would come and lead me now and fill me with his spirit, that certainly hadn't reached the age before I still fall flat on my face and be in shame. And I want to be able to share some thoughts. And this scripture that I first read is a scripture I read, I think, last Sunday. I didn't make but just one or two comments about it, but it's been on my mind, and I'm not going to dwell on it very much, or that's my thoughts right now. But I do want you to look at it, and I hope that the scripture itself, especially the last verse or these three verses I read in the 8th chapter of Jeremiah, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd verses of that chapter. 21st says, "The harvest is past, summer's ended, and we are not saved." There's so much truth in that statement, and I believe I'm speaking to people generally that is saved and will meet them someday in heaven. But the saving that's under consideration here is being saved now. And so many of God's people, one of the prayers, one of the comments that's been made this morning was the dread condition that we're generally in as a nation, and it does concern us all, I trust. But I want you to look now, if you will, to this next verse. Think about it with me. "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment has taken hold on me." And this describes a great deal of how Edward Cagle feels this morning. But I want you to listen to this next verse and pray with us concerning it. "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is the health of the daughter of my people not recovered?" Not recovered. I hope that you can see some of the thoughts that I'm going to pass on soon, but look at it. The question is being asked, is there no balm in Gilead? This is a healing material that was taken from trees, we understand. And in Gilead was a place where much of this particular material was found, and it was one that supplied at this particular time, we've read somewhere in history, that supplied most of the needs of the pretty much of the known world at that time, at least, over. And then he, "Is there no physician there?" But the answer comes, and I want to answer it like this: yes, there is a physician there. Yes, there is balm in Gilead. Yes, there is balm in Georgia. Yes, there is balm in the very area in which we live. Why then? Why then is the health? let's read it there. "Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" The answer to that is, yes, there's balm in Gilead. Yes, there is a physician there. But for the balm that's there, for the medicine that's there, for the material that's there for our benefit, it'll not do us any good sitting on the shelf. It'll not do us any good if we hear it proclaimed right here in Union Church Building and walk out the door and forget it. Yes, there is, Mom. And you, yes, there is a physician there. Why then is the health? Why then is the health of the daughters of my people not recovered? For the medicine to do us good, we've got to take it. For the instruction to do us good, we've got to use it. That's what I want us to think about. And I hope that with the further things that I have to say this morning will be some help in how to use the very medicines, the very prescriptions that God has prescribed for us. And from time to time, and last Sunday, Brother Marty did an outstanding job of explaining to us about this physician and about the prescriptions, and definitely some good instruction on using this. But if you had a sickness with you, and the doctor knew the very best, and it was even the medicine that he had could cure that, it'll never do you any good sitting on the shelf. You got to take it. You got to use it. And when you sit here on Sunday morning, and I know that the Lord is blessing Brother Marty in a mighty way, and I praise and thank God for it. But for this to really do you good, you got to use it. You got to take it. You got to do that. Oh, God, help us to see this and to understand it. I want to go to Proverbs 6 chapter. I want us to see how that we can begin to use some of this, and how we can learn so much from small things. That's what I hope that God will enable me this morning to share with you, how that this can be so beneficial. You know, coming to church on Sunday morning, I commend you for it. I'm happy to see each one that's here now. But for this, you're gathering together this morning for it to really benefit you. Even if God were to bless me, it's got to be thought about after you walk out the door. It's got to be thought about all next week. See, just like the right prescription, it's got to be taken. It's got to be used. God help us to keep this in mind. Sixth chapter of Proverbs. I want to look just for a few minutes at I'd like to invite you to read the first verses, but I'm going to start reading with verse 6. And this is where he tells us, "Go to the ant, thy sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide or overseer, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." Go to the ant. Now I want to share with you this morning a little bit of personal experience. Of course, grew up on the farm, began to plow mule at a very young age. And I remember this one particular morning, don't usually use these kind of references, but I think this one will help me to get a point across that I want so much. Go to the ant, learn something, see something, and having no guide or overseer, but yet goes about doing that will provide her meat in the summer and then the harvest, and to have that will sustain them through the cold winter. And we have some winter times in our lives, don't we? And this is the things that will help us, not only when we're enjoying the blessings of health and the blessings of life, but when the darkness of night comes, the darkness of bad health, or the problems of life comes, it'll certainly do us good then. So, but go now and learn. So I remember my mother, when we were farming, most all the time, fixed our lunch before she came to the field where we were working. But she generally brought me a biscuit or a piece of cake or something at the time she went to the field to do her work, and a glass of water or a quart of water or something. She'd bring me something to drink and something to eat. And so this had happened this particular morning, and as I sat down, dropped a breadcrumb. Hadn't saw a single ant, but just Pretty soon after that breadcrumb dropped, here came an ant, and he tried to move the breadcrumb. He went on this side, that side, all around it. Wasn't able to move it. But then he goes, and just in a few, seconds, another ant came with him. And they began on the same side to move this breadcrumb. Still wasn't moving. But they came around and touched antennas. They had a conversation. They passed the word along to each other. And this is, I've said this before, and some of you have heard me say it maybe more than one time, but what I think they said, one said to the other is, you push and I'll pull, because one got on one side of that and one on the other side, and that's what they were doing, and the breadcrumb began to move. What was that? Laboring together. Working, go to the ant, consider ways and be wise. Learn how to labor together. Learn how to do things together. And the burden of life, and even when the burdens are great, you'll have great help. That's what I hope that you can get from this. And just let me read on now. Just won't say much more about this, but want to provide her meat in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Wake up, folks. This is what the Word of God is saying, and how I want to see you encouraging to see others along your way, the people that you meet from now until you meet back here next Sunday morning. I want to see you encouraging them in some way, somehow, to wake up, to be alert, to be looking to what God has blessed them with, and to see what's in store for them now. The real benefit in attending church on Sunday morning, the real benefit doesn't come just from being here. The real benefit comes from using what you get while you're here. I hope if you don't remember nothing else I've said, I hope you remember that. Is how well you use when the power of the gospel is proclaimed and it's telling you exactly what you should do to be able to enjoy the blessings of life and being able to help others and being able to help yourselves here in this life. It, where the good comes out of that is how well you remember it and use it when you walk out the door. Keeping in mind, oh God help us. You know, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but about the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to this one that's speaking to you this morning is when somebody said, when I just heard a preacher preach that morning, and they asked me, how was the service? And I said, it was great. Was wonderfully blessed. What did he preach about? What did he say? I just got through saying it'd been great and been wonderful, but I was struggling to remember what was said. You got, for church service to really benefit you, you got to remember it when you walk out the door. You know, the best way to remember things, use it. You know, this, I don't have enough, you heard me say it many times, but enough education to even talk about, but the part of the education I do have, formal education I have, that's done me the most good is the part I've used. That that I haven't used, not benefited me, and I'd hate to take a test on that, not only now, but a year or two after I'd studied the subject. But what I'd used, I would have probably done a little better or much better. I want you to think about that. How long will you sleep? How long, O sluggard, when will thou arise out of the sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And what's going to happen to you? So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth. And one that travaileth is going to be when a mother is in labor and travaileth. There's going to be one of two things happen. There's going to be a deliverance, or there's going to be a death, one or the other. Think about it. Look at this with me. So shall thy poverty come upon thee as one that travaileth, and thou shalt, and thy wont as an armed man. Don't have much defense. Might be some pretty strong men here that if they was just left to face another man, but if he was armed with a weapon, wouldn't be much they could do. I want us to think about the lesson. So much more I want to get to, but I hate to leave this right now, but I want to ask you to stay with it and think about it and pray about it. And let me look at one other thing while I'm here in this Proverbs. Turn over with me, if you will, to the 10th chapter, and let's look at a verse here. The 5th verse of the 10th chapter of Proverbs. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. He that gathereth in the summer. Not a great deal of crops being gathered. There's some together in the summer. And he that's ready to gather the crop when it's grown and matured and ready for harvest is wise and blessed. But he that sleepeth in harvest, in the midst of the harvest, you know, I growing up on a farm, people were, I'd like to see neighbors doing that more now, but we're so busy we don't have time to see each other, neighbors that much anymore. Well, it's happened in my neighborhood, may not have in yours, but I remember the time that in the wintertime especially, and in times when it wasn't a lot of laboring going on in the on the farm, neighbors would come to the other house and set, as we call, to bedtime. They visited, and if a neighbor had a need, they were the other neighbors were there to help. And that's something that is taught certainly in God's Word, how important it is. But here's what the Word of God is saying. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest, when the harvest is out there and they're asleep, will cause shame to see the crop ruined. Gathering it while it's there ready to gather, working till the nighttime, working long hours to see that it's taken care of. Oh, that God would help us in a spiritual manner to know how to use this. And I think if you'll think on it, maybe not from my teaching, I hope you get the teaching of the Scripture, and it'll help you in many ways of thinking on this. I want to turn now to this, to the 6th chapter of Matthew. I want us to hear this and the wonderful Sermon on the Mount. And this is the conclusion of the 6th chapter. I'd like to invite you. I will not take time to read all of that there is there that I'd like to read, but I want to start with the verse 33. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Oh, how important that it is for us to seek first the kingdom of God. But notice he didn't just stop with the kingdom of God, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All the necessities of life. Didn't say anything about everything you want, everything that you would think about, but all the needs of life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day are the evil thereof. Don't have to spend a lot of time thinking about that, but thinking about what we can do, seeking first, putting first each day of our life the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. That's what will help us. That's taking the medicine. Is there no bum in Gilead? Yes, there is. Is there no physician there? Yes, there is. Then when the physician prescribes the medication or the remedy for your problem, if it does you any good, you have to use it. You have to take it. I know this is simple, but I hope it means something to you. I want it to so very, very much. I want you to be able to rejoice in this. I want to go to the 9th chapter of Matthew while we're here close by. I want us to see what Jesus said soon after that he began to preach his own everlasting gospel. And then the following chapter, which we'll not be reading, will tell us about how he selected those that he sent out to preach. But I want you to look with me here in this 9th chapter of Matthew, verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Oh, will you, as I asked of you this morning, will you, as you meet someone that convinces you in short time that they love the Lord and they want to do right, and that's something you will pick up pretty early in the lives of people that you associate with daily. And this is what I would like to encourage you to do, and to see this and to understand it. He was moved by it because they fainted. They were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Oh, God, help us to be better laborers than we are. When we see one that's showing evidence that they're a child of God, not one necessarily that's attending the Primitive Baptist Church on Sunday morning, that'd be good if they were, but not necessarily them, but those that you see, those that you meet, those that you come in contact with, those that you labor with, or those that you know, or just have a conversation with, encourage them. Encourage them, help them, to show them that the harvest, even for them that's out there, there's a harvest for us to be looking to bring to the knowledge of the truth as it is in Christ. And this is what Jesus Christ told them in the 38th verse. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. That's what we're wanting to see. We're wanting you, between now and next Sunday morning, someone that you come in contact with, to especially that shows some of the love of God, and you find out from conversation with them that they may not be attending a church anywhere. Encourage them to come with you to Union Church next Sunday morning. Encourage them to come and worship with you. Tell them about some of the things that you're rejoicing in. Tell them what it means to you. Tell them how it's helped you in times past. Child of God, this is something I believe that's being badly neglected today. I believe it's being badly neglected today. I don't think we're telling enough people what we have and what the Lord's blessing us with and how great it is. Do you see this? I want you to so bad. I want you to see this, understand it, and be ready to respond. The laborers are few, but pray ye that the Lord of the harvest, and there is no harvest if the Lord's not in it, that he'll send laborers into the harvest. Laborers to gather in, to tell others about it, and to share. Oh, tell people how much more there is to worshiping God than just coming to church on Sunday morning. Tell them how much joy there is on Monday or on Tuesday or all during the week. God, help us to see this and to be able to rejoice in knowing something about it. I want you to so very, very much. 4th chapter of John. I want to look there. I hope you all, I feel like you are praying, but I hope you'll just continue to pray for a little while, that we can see some of these things And you know, this is what the church is all about. We could talk about, and I know we need to, the greatness of God and how he reaches and saves his people from their sins. But I think these practical things is what will do us so much good right here, right now. And in the time that we're living, in the surroundings that we're living in, how badly we need to understand this and be actively involved, not only on Sunday morning, but each day as the week goes on. God help us to see this. Fourth chapter of St. John, and I would like to spend a lot of time here, but I want to get to something else so much, but pray for us. But here in the 34th verse, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's what he came for. Now look at this. Say not ye. And now I want us to hear this and understand it. Say not ye that there is yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There is planting time and cultivated time, seed sowing time, and there is harvest time. But in the kingdom of God, in the spiritual field of God's laboring, there is time to harvest. Oh, there's times to be sowing. There's the times to be planting. There's times to be cultivating. There's times to be encouraging. But there's times also to be ready to gather what God has blessed us with. Oh, I think if there's one area that we are tremendously failing in, it is to reach out to those that God has reached. And God has brought from a state of death in sin to life in Christ, to reach them and tell them more about what a great joy it is to serve God now while they're living. And that's what I want. And that's what my whole hope is this morning, that some of the things that I'm saying to you will encourage you to want to reach out to somebody between now and next Sunday morning, when Brother Marty will stand here and preach and teach the children of God. Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There's harvesting that needs to be done, and we need to be looking, and we need to be helping to encourage them to be gathered in and enjoy the fullness of the blessings of God right here, right now, while we live. God help us to see this. God help us to understand it. I want to, in the verse in Hebrews, if I can get my thoughts together, that I'd like to just see for a minute. And before I pass on, I must hurry because I'm not getting to where I wanted to be. Pray for me, please. Here in Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 24th verse, And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let's consider. But what we want to do, we don't want to provoke to evil or ungodliness, but provoke to good works, unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Oh, how important that it is. You know, I'm glad to see each one that's here this morning. But you know, the Sunday that you miss coming to church might be the very Sunday that the Lord bless Brother Marty to have the very medicine that you needed, have the very prescription that you needed, and you missed out because you wasn't here. God help us to see what a blessing it is and how important it is to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but to exalt one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. And it is through my lifetime, this need has been there, and it's been greater sometimes than others, but I don't think there's been a greater time in the 60 years that I've been trying to speak to God's people. I don't think there's been a time that is any stronger needed than right now at this very hour. Now that's what moves me to want to talk to you about some of the things that I'm saying to you this morning. God help us to see this and to rejoice in it. Philippians, the third chapter. If we could turn there for just a moment and see something here that has helped me. And what I'm trying to do is give some things that will help you. Here in the third chapter of Philippians, I believe it's the third verse. For we are the eruption, which were, we are the circumcised, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. There's where we should be. Though I might also have in the flesh, confidence in the flesh, if any man man thinketh that he hath whereof that he might trust in the flesh, I more. See, Paul was one that well educated. I don't think it's contained in the Bible, but somewhere in the pages of history, I read that he was a master of 14 different languages and many dialects and many thoughts, but he didn't depend upon that. I wanted, if I can quickly find the verse that I wanted. I didn't want to spend all the time reading, but if I can find the verse that I was looking for. But what, let's look at verse 7. For what things were gain unto me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I may gain Christ. Oh, God, help us to see the importance of this. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of God, faith of Christ, and the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of the sufferings, being made conformable unto death. I hope that this reading means something to you. Much could be said, but I want to get, and I'm not going to get to where I hoped to get when I started, but pray for us that I can share just a few thoughts here. And we look in the 24th chapter of Matthew. I want to give you something for you to pray that Brother Marty will be blessed soon to maybe speak on to you, and I'm sure he has at different times before now. But here in the 24th chapter of Matthew, in the 32nd verse, 24 and verse 32, this is one that has been misused, misrepresented many times, these chapters is. I believe this, basically this 24th chapter of Matthew was fulfilled in 70 A.D. when the Roman general Titus came through and just wiped out Jerusalem and Judea, and all of that was left in total ruins. And here in the 32nd verse, he said, learn ye the parable of the fig tree. When the branches thereof is put forth, ye know that summer's nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. This is something he's telling them that they were going to live to see, and telling them something they was going to need to do. And I hope that you can read this and understand it and see that this did happen in 70 AD when Titus laid destruction, and God did destroy the land, that there was no vegetation on much of Jerusalem and Judea, the nation of Israel. There was no vegetation hardly at all that did grow. There was one of the things when we spent a week in that area in 1972, one of the things that they told us was that if a rabbit went across the land, it'd have to carry its food with it. There was not anything to sustain in that land, and that was what was laid waste by the Titus's army, and then the judgment of God upon this nation for failing to listen to the Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I want you to read this, but I want to spend the next few minutes in the 25th chapter, and maybe a little in just a few minutes in one other scripture in the Old Testament. But here in the 25th chapter, then shall the kingdom of heaven, after this, and I think this is describing after 70 AD, after that the Judea and Jerusalem all was laid in waste, then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins went forth to meet the bridegroom, and while 5 of them was wise and 5 were foolish. And the foolish took lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in the vessel with the lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept at midnight. And I want you to specifically, a lot of this I'll be saying nothing about, but I do want you to get the significance of midnight. Midnight is when one day ends and another day begins. And this of the Old Testament, the law day service was ending right now. It's coming to an end. And a new day, the doctrines of grace, the doctrines of the true church here in the world that Jesus Christ set up and said, and this is what he is describing, is the church that he set up while he was here in the world and telling them, and it describes here that 5 of these, they were all 10 virgins. They were all 10 born again children of God. 5 of them had observed what they'd been taught, was using it, and was being blessed. They had fuel in the vessel with their lamps. Their lamps were still burning. But look what happens here with me, if you will. Midnight is come, and they, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and go ye out to meet him. And those virgins rose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the wise said, not so, this will be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. You got to go buy it. But oh, I want you to know, I want you to see the price of it when you go buy it. 55th chapter of Isaiah. Let's look at that quickly, if we can, and see what is being taught. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the water. Everyone, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come and buy without money and without price. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. But you got to buy it. And some of us, including myself and some others that's on the sound of my voice, know what it is to buy without money, taking something else other than money. Maybe taking some eggs or taking a chicken or something like that to the grocery store and exchanging that for the needs that you have. But you had to come and buy without money, and you buy it without price. Oh, God, help us to see this and to understand it, that it takes doing what the Lord says do, buying, using what God has blessed you with. And look at this. Give us your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, you're going to have to go and buy for yourself. But while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in, and the door was shut. The thing that I want more than anything else to get to this morning, and hope that I can close with that thought in mind, the door was shut. What door? The door of opportunity. What I'm praying for, that God will never close the doors, and the opportunity for children of God to serve God right here at Union Church. The door was closed. Well, let's read it, and you see it. Now, I'll bring my talk to close soon. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. It wasn't that he didn't know them as virgins. He knew them not as obedient children of God. That's how he didn't know them. I know you not. Oh, how sad that would be for the Lord to say to us, I know you not in obedience. I know you not in following the Lord. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Be ready, be obeying, continue to walk in the way of truth. God help us to see this and to understand it. And let me get one more thing, and then I will close. I want to go to John, the 21st chapter, and as a closing point this morning, I want to see this. I hope that, I know I've used a lot, pointed to a lot of scriptures. Maybe I not use them very well, but pointed to a lot of scriptures, and I'd like for you to look at them. But here in the, when we think about this book and how much it contains, but I want you to see what the Bible says about that. And there, and this is in the last chapter of St. John, in the last verse, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should all be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. If all the things he did and said was written, even the world itself could not contain it. But this is such a complete book, and it's full of that we need right here, right now, while we live. I hope that this means something to you. things that I think about and want to share, I get so many things on my mind that I'm always, and this is not something that altogether has come with age, but I want to share them so bad till I leave out so much that should have been said in between what I tried to say. Been so much better if I had covered a lot less ground in scriptures and said more about what I did. And I know that now. But pray for us and pray for each other. And the thing that I want you to be comforted in, you have a great opportunity here at Union. I can't tell you how thankful I am for the opportunity you have to go forward. And the pastor that God has blessed you with to teach you the right things to do. But the thing that I want to say this as strongly as I know how to say it. Obey what you're taught. Listen to it. But when you walk out the door, use it. May God bless you, is my humble prayer.